Well, good morning, Conqueror's Sunday School class. This is Brother Ray Shutt coming to you again this morning with another lesson from our Assurance Launchpad for Righteous Living series. Today's lesson will be lesson number 12, and the lesson is entitled Faith That Overcomes. We'll be looking at 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, and this lesson is for Sunday morning, April 11, 2021. I hope you'll take time to visit the website if you're not already on there, and you'll pull up the lesson outline that you can follow along with us this morning as we go through this great lesson on faith that overcomes. Our lesson theme verse today is found in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. And the Bible said, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Now I want to ask you this question this morning. Are you a victim or are you a victor? Are you a victim or are you a victor? As we read the first few verses of 1 John chapter 5, we see an interesting yet important part of the gospel that needs to be understood, and that being the word believe. When we read verse 1 of 1 John chapter 5, we read these words, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that beget loveth him also that is begotten of him." Now, when you first look at that word believeth, you would think that this is a mere reference to something we all simply accept to be true. We often hear people say, "Well, I believe in God," or "I believe in Jesus." But when you hear that phrase, what is a person truly saying? If a person says, "I believe in Jesus," or "I believe in the tooth fairy," or even "I believe in Santa Claus," what exactly are they saying? What does it really mean when someone says, "I believe"? And what does the Bible mean when it says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God"? Well, let me say first off that eternal life is more than just saying the words, "I believe." The Bible tells us in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible there said, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Now, does this verse tell us that because the devils in hell believe that there is one God, that they too will one day enjoy the beauty and splendors of heaven? Certainly not. Yet many people today want to claim that they're going to heaven because they too believe in God. They believe in Jesus. But my friend, this is not at all what the Bible is teaching. The word believe here actually means to place credit upon the authority or the testimony of another. To be persuaded of the truth of something upon the declaration of another or upon evidence furnished by reasons, arguments, and deductions of the mind, or by other circumstances than personal knowledge. When we believe upon the authority of another, we always put confidence in his or her veracity, do we not? When we as sinners first heard the message of the gospel, we had to make a choice. We had to choose to believe, not just with our head, but with our heart, what the Bible said. And what does the Word of God say? Well, it says that God is holy and without sin, and that he hates sin, the very thought of sin. It also tells us that we're sinners. Listen, folks, I am a sinner, both by birth and until saved by choice in the eyes of holy God. And you know what? The Bible also tells me that because of this fact, I deserve to receive the just punishment for my sin, which is eternal separation from God in that place prepared for the devil and his fallen angels called hell. And you know, the Bible goes on to tell us that while God hates my sin, the fact is that sin has separated me from him, he still chose to love me. Amen? He chose to love me, a sinner deserving of hell. And God wants me to be with him in heaven for all eternity. And that's why God made the way possible for my sin to be pardoned through his great love for me, and that he does indeed want me to be with him forever. Amen? Forever in heaven. And then the Bible goes on to tell us that if I would, if you would, if we will, in simple faith, believe what the Bible says, what God says in his word, and if we will take him at his word, that he will indeed save our soul from the wages and the penalty of sin, which is death and eternal separation from God in a devil's hell. But folks, here's the thing. That decision to either accept or reject the gift of God's great gift of salvation and eternal life must be made personally. I had to personally make that decision. You had to personally make that decision. And then if we do that, then God allows that belief that we place in his word to become saving faith. And that saving faith then becomes that vehicle which transports us to eternal life in Christ Jesus, as well as to victory over sin and death and hell. Man, isn't that great? And isn't that exactly what Paul confirmed as we read in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10? Where he wrote these words, he said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is that faith that overcomes. And those who are born of God have indeed overcome this old world through their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Man, I get excited about this, don't you? Now let's look at this great lesson today. I want you to look at it with me, okay? Go through the notes. I've got the outline there for you on the website. Pull it up. Look at it. Go through it with us this morning as we look at this lesson entitled Faith That Overcomes. First of all, I want you to see the consequences of faith. And we're going to begin here in 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verses 1 through 5. All right? Now look at this. The consequences of faith. A, number one, it all starts with obedience. Obeying the Lord. Look at it here in verses 1, 2, and 3. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. It tells us here that whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. John's readers did believe that Jesus was the Christ, the promised one, and they had believed on him as their Lord and their Savior. But there were false teachers that denied that Jesus was the Christ. They rejected Jesus as their Savior. And John wanted to encourage these folks and to remind them of the consequences and the results of faith in their lives. Take a moment with me and turn in your Bible to the account of John's Gospel, John chapter 1. And I want you to look at it here with me. John chapter 1, verses 10, 11, and 12. Turn there with me in your Bible for just a moment. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Here's what John wrote. He said, he, speaking of Jesus, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, I love this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Man, isn't that great? Now go back to 1 John chapter 5, and I want you to see here what verse number 2 says. It said, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Remember, truth and obedience, folks, they go hand in hand. Truth from God's word and obedience to God's word go hand in hand in the life of the child of God. John showed his readers here the proof that they were of God. In verse number 2, by this we know, he said. You cannot say you love God and not love God's Son. Amen? You cannot say that you love God and not love the children of God. Jesus told his disciples, as you'll remember back in John 14:15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. All through the book of 1 John, John is trying to emphasize the fact that true love is more than mere words. It is action. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 said this, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Listen, loving parents teach principles of loving behavior, do they not? When a person gets saved, they take God at his word in faith, and because of that living faith, we learn not only to trust God, but we also learn to obey God and his word. It's through this that we see our obligation unto God, because God first loved us and gave himself for us in the form of his own dear and precious Son on Calvary, and then to love others as God loved us, even when it goes against what the natural man wants to do. It's through that love that we see our obligation to love God. Now look at the last part of verse 3 here. He said, and his commandments are not grievous. That simply means that it's not burdensome to do what God said. It should not be a difficult thing to love God. You know, it shouldn't be difficult. It shouldn't be a difficult thing to love God's word or even to love God's people. Man, that's a great truth that we need to understand today. Folks, it is not grievous for me to love my wife. Amen? Even when she's not always doing what I want to see her do. She goes and spends more money on groceries, or she buys something that she didn't ask me about, or and she comes back in there and she says, but I bought this for you. Listen, it's not grievous to love someone that loves me. And you know what? It's not grievous for us to love the Word of God. It's not grievous for us to love His commandments and to love the one who so loved us and gave Himself for us. But I want you to see this second point also that John is trying to get us to understand. This is another consequence or another result of faith, and it is overcoming the world. Overcoming the world. Listen, folks, that is a consequence or a result of placing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. Look at what verses 4 and 5 say here. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Folks, listen to me today. You need to understand, we're on the winning side. If you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, God has placed you on the winning side. Amen? And in addition to obeying the Lord, those who have truly become God's children by placing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not able just to overcome the world and the temptations of the world, but they are overcomers in all things. All temptations that the devil's crowd lays out for us. Listen, we're overcomers. We're victors today. We have been made more than conquerors through him that loved us. The world, with all its temptations and all its powers, it seems to be in full control of our lost world today, does it not? And it seems to even be in control of some Christians who are not living and abiding in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. But folks, I want you to understand, God gives power, God gives strength, God gives wisdom to overcome those temptations that the world throws before us. And we as Christians and born again children of God, we need to remember that God has given us a scriptural source of strength and power and wisdom so that we may be overcomers today. Yes, we are truly made to be more than conquerors through him that loved us, even as our class theme verse tells us there in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Even though the world may at times seem invincible, folks, it is no match for our God. For whoever places their faith and trust in him is placed on the winning side. And our God forever is and always shall be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's no defeat in the Lord Jesus Christ. And John was trying to remind his readers here that they were on the winning side. Amen? We're on the winning side. Look at it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? Who is it that's able to overcome the temptations of the devil? Who is it that is able to overcome the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. I want you to turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. And look what the Apostle Paul wrote here. He said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Amen. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm about to have a shouting spell here. Amen. Don't you see? It's not the amount of faith that we have that gives us the victory. It is the object of our faith that gives us the victory. And the object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to his name. Amen. And John reaffirms this here in verse number 5. Look at it. Verse number 5, he said, but who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. That's what I did as a 15-year-old boy, March 28th, 1975. I placed my faith. I put my faith and my trust. I believed that he would do what his word said he would do. And he became my Savior that day. Amen. Listen, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Folks, keep your eyes on Jesus. When the devil throws his fiery darts at you and he tries to hurt you and to try to discourage you, you just keep your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because he is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. And John links those three great marks of Christianity here in verses 1 through 5 that are seen throughout the epistle of 1 John, which are, again, truth. And that truth is belief that Jesus is indeed God in the flesh. And that truth is coupled with obedience. And obedience is the result of our love toward God because he first loved us and gave himself for us. But the third thing is love, true love, real love, godly love, not only for God, but for his word and for his dear son, which is in turn the one who produces the new love that we have for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, not to mention our new love for those who are still lost and in need of a Savior. We have a love for those folks who need to know Christ as their Savior. We have a desire to make sure that we give them the gospel so they don't have to be separated from God by their sins in that awful place called hell. God gives truth. He causes truth become obedience, and obedience produces love in the heart and the life of the child of God. These are the consequences. These are the results of our soul-saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, let's look at point number 2. We want to see the confidence now of faith. The confidence of faith. Now, we're going to see this in verses 6 through 12 of John, 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 12. Now, let me ask you, first of all, dear child of God, do you personally have confidence in God today? I mean, when you pray, Do you really believe that God is going to hear and answer your prayer? Or are you like some of these folks today that say, well, I guess if I have to pray, I can do that as a last resort? Listen, folks, we ought to have confidence in God. Confidence in Him. Listen, if I can trust Him with my soul, can I not trust Him with all my needs, with my pocketbook, with my life, with all that I have today? Can I not trust Him? Can I not have confidence in God in all things in my life? Listen, do you have confidence in God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? In 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, John claimed that faith in Christ is able to overcome the world. But that statement also raises a question, does it not? Look at it here, at what John wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. We just looked at these verses. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's a fact. And everyone that loveth Him that beget, that's God, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. By this we know, we are assured, we have confidence. We know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? But folks, when we read those verses, there still comes a question. There still is a question that rises out of the mist of our belief. And that question is, how can Christians truly be confident that their faith in Christ is well-founded? How can Christians who place their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ truly be confident that their faith in Christ is well-founded? Well, to answer that question, John here in this chapter, he identifies three witnesses that testify of the authenticity and the legitimacy of our faith in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to see this morning. The three witnesses. Number one, in verses 6 through 8, we're going to see the Spirit witness, all right? The Holy Spirit witness. In verses 9 through 10, he's going to show us the superior witness. That's God the Father. And then in verses 11 and 12, he shows us the sustaining witness. Now, let's take a look at these three witnesses here in the lesson this morning, all right? First of all, we see the Spirit witness. Look at verses 6, 7, and 8. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now let's look at these three verses just a moment. There were many false teachers that were teaching false doctrines about Jesus in John's day. They were even teaching things that just are unbelievable to even imagine, even as they are in our world today. But John, in these verses, he is telling his readers, he said, I have witnessed that proof of what I'm saying. I have other witnesses, too, that prove that what I am saying to you in this letter is truth. And the first witness that he made known to his readers here was the sweet, precious Holy Spirit of God. Now, there were false teachers in John's day. Namely, there was one called Cerinthus. He was an Egyptian theologian. And he claimed that Jesus was not God when he was born, but he only became the Christ, the promised one, at his baptism. And then that divine part of Christ left the human Jesus when he was crucified on the cross. Can you imagine such wicked doctrine as this? And they were being told that the Son of God participated in the water of baptism, but he did not really participate in the blood of the cross. But folks, the Bible, God's holy word, it teaches us that Jesus is God in the flesh. He was born of a virgin without the instrumentality of a human man, and that the Bible, whose author is the Holy Ghost of God, it tells us in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God." And if you go down in that same chapter, John chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible said, "And the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Isaiah wrote about the coming of the Son of God hundreds of years before it ever happened. And he wrote these words in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And then the Old Testament prophet Micah, he wrote in his prophecy in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, he said, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." And then if you turn over in the New Testament book of Luke, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 35, the Holy Spirit of God had Luke to write these words. I want you to listen to this. The Bible said, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, casting her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And then the Holy Spirit had Matthew to write in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Look at this with me. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So don't let verse number 6 here in 1 John chapter 5 scare you. The Holy Spirit of God says Jesus is the Son of God. And John said, I want you folks to know, and I want you to believe that the Holy Spirit of God is a faithful witness that Jesus is indeed the Christ. And then verse 7 again shows us the harmony that God has designed and he has placed within the scriptures, and how he verifies the Trinity, and the Trinity verifies that Jesus is the Christ. Verse 8, John goes back here then, and he returns to the point that he made back in verse number 6, where he stated that there were three that bear witness to the fact that Jesus is the Christ. And each of these verses, verses 6, 7, and 8, each of these verses gives the child of God overwhelming confidence that Jesus is indeed the Christ. And it shows us that our faith in Christ is a sure faith. It's a trusted faith, even in the face of false teaching, folks. And then I want you to see here in verses 9 and 10, the superior witness. We've seen the Spirit witness, but I want you to see now, and John wants to point out here, the superior witness. Look at it, verses 9 and 10. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, or the proof, the evidence that God gave of his Son. Now, in these two verses, John shows his readers why faith is so reasonable. It's reasonable, folks. Think about it, folks. People usually make their decisions based upon trusted evidence, right? Well, God here is giving his witness, and God's witness about Christ is ultimately himself, and it's self-authenticating. Listen, turn back with me to the New Testament book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Look at what the Bible said here. The Bible said, And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We also see God's superior witness in that same book, Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, where the Bible said, And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto the Lord Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. God's own testimony about his Son, folks, is all sufficient. Amen? Faith is accepting God's testimony as being reliable and trustworthy. And we act on that basis by believing in Christ. Faith takes God at his word. And we see this in verse number 9. And then look at verse number 10. In verse 10, we see that accepting God's testimony, how that it provides proof. It produces belief in Christ in the heart of the very child of God. Look at verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. In essence, when a person chooses not to believe God's word about God's Son, they are actually calling Almighty God a liar. Can you imagine that? Folks, God is not a liar. God is truth. And God wants us to know and believe that his Son is the Christ, the promised one. And by rejecting God's testimony about Christ, a person is considering God to be an untrusty witness, an unworthy witness, an untrustworthy witness. And this is what the false teachers were doing back then. And folks, this is exactly what they're still doing today. We need to believe the testimony of God simply because he is God. Amen. Just as we expect our children to believe us and to trust us, even when they do not understand, and even when what we tell them may not make sense to them, so God also expects and he wants, he desires you and I as his dear children to believe his word and to trust his grace. Folks, when we refuse to believe God, we are failing to trust God, and we're failing to trust his word. And folks, that is sin. That's why I'm so thankful for this last point in the lesson. Not only do we have a spirit witness, and not only do we have a superior witness in God himself, but then we see in verses 11 and 12, the sustaining witness. The sustaining witness. Look at it. The Holy Spirit of God had John to write these words in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. He said, and this is the record. Now that word record means the proof, the evidence, okay? This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, read these words. He said, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Here in verse number 11, John expands on the fact of the record, the proof, the evidence that God gave of his Son. The false teachers spoke of their own authority as they tried to undermine the truth about Jesus. But here, God says, here is the proof that I have given to each of you that have eternal life. Listen, notice what God said here. He said that life comes only through God's Son, who is Jesus Christ the Lord. It's not through our good works. It's not through our good deeds. It's not through baptism. It's not through church membership. It's not through what you give to the church in monetary ways. Listen, God says that eternal life that he gives comes only through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. It's not Mary. It's not the Pope. It's not through our good works. It's not through our good deeds. It's not through our church membership. It's not through baptism. It's not through sincerity. It's not through some religious tradition or dogma. But honey, this life is in his Son. And this is the proof, the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Folks, when Thomas questioned Jesus and asked him, how can we know the way to heaven? How can we know the way, Jesus? Jesus looked at Thomas and he said these words in John chapter 14, verse 6. You know this. Listen what he said. He said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, this verse reinforces this great truth. And John makes clear here, both to those who did believe and even to those who did not believe, either you do have the Son and you have eternal life with God, or you do not have the Son of God and you do not have eternal life with God. You're still lost in your sin. Folks, saving belief in Jesus as the only begotten, virgin born, sinless Son of Almighty God and eternal life are therefore inseparable. They're inseparable for those who place their faith and trust in Him as their Savior. Folks, God has no plan B for gaining eternal life. God only had one plan, and that plan came through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no alternative plan for those who reject God's means of salvation. Jesus is the only way. Jesus Christ, the only begotten, virgin born, Son and divine Lamb of God, Jesus Christ alone is the only way to the Father and to eternal life in heaven with God the Father. Listen, folks, the Bible still tells us in John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And if you go just a couple chapters more in John's account, John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus himself taught this, saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. These two verses, along with what we've studied here in the book of 1 John, they are proof that whosoever believeth the promises and you place your faith and trust in the risen Savior, God gives unto you eternal life as a present possession. Amen. What a blessing to know. I am His and He is mine. Now, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen. Child of God, listen to me. As you face the challenges and the oppositions that the world throws at you each and every day about Jesus, you just determine in your heart that you're going to stand firmly upon the Word of God and upon the fact that it is God that has given you eternal life, not man, not religion, not good works, not baptism, not any religious dogma or tradition that the world can offer, but our salvation comes through faith in the finished work of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, alone. Amen. Oh, thank God for a faith that overcomes. Folks, if we say we love God, then let's put that love into action today. Amen. Let's prove to the world that we have faith that overcomes the world. Now let me ask you today as we close the lesson, child of God, Conqueror's class member, are you experiencing the joy of that faith that overcomes today? Or are you just simply allowing the devil and his crowd to take your eyes off the one who has saved you and who has promised you that he will never leave you nor forsake you? Are you allowing the love and the overcoming power of our invisible God to be made visible in your life before the lost and dying world today? If you're not doing that, then folks, you need to ask God to forgive you. And then you just need to make up your heart and your mind as a truly born-again child of God that you're going to simply trust the God who has saved your soul so that you might be an overcomer, a conqueror, amen, in this world today. And then maybe you're listening to this lesson and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Man, you don't have a clue what we're talking about being saved. And my friend, listen, you are on your way to a devil's hell if you have not trusted Christ as your own personal Savior. I don't say that cruelly. I state that as a fact, just as it was with me one day before I got saved. If you're listening to my voice and you've never trusted Christ, I want you to understand something today. God loves you, and God wants you to be saved. God wants to birth you into His family so that you can be with Him in heaven one day when you die. Listen, folks, I love you, and I'm giving you the truth of God's Word today. God loves you and wants you to have a personal relationship with Him through His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't you call on Him today? Won't you just place your faith and trust in the one who was given for you upon the cross of Calvary and who paid the debt for your sins some 2,000 plus years ago? Won't you place your faith and trust in him today? I hope that you will. Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this lesson. Faith that overcomes. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that we've been made more than conquerors through him that loved us today. But God, there may be someone out there today that's not saved yet. They don't know you as their personal Savior. Lord, would you help them to come today, to be willing to humble themselves before you and to call upon your name and ask you to save them today? God, I pray, Lord, that you'll not only strengthen the children of God who are listening to this lesson, but God, you would speak to those who are still lost and help them to see their need of a Savior. And God, draw them unto yourself so that they will trust you and believe on you and place their faith in you as their own dear Savior. Thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to have these lessons. I pray, God, that you'll bless them now. Let your word stick in the hearts of your children. And help us, God, to be shining lights for you in a dark world of sin. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, thank you for joining us today on another lesson online with the Conqueror Sunday School class, Faith That Overcomes. I challenge you today, go back to 1 John chapter 5 and read these verses. Study the outline. Let the Lord's word sink into your heart. And put that love of God in action. Tell somebody about Jesus today. We hope to see you in church today at 10:45 or back again tonight at 6 o'clock and then on Wednesday night at 7. God bless you. And we look forward to seeing you again next Sunday for another lesson from the Conqueror's Sunday School class. God bless.